And Bolga averaged 15 points a game this year. A catch and shoot to Jesperson left wing. His shot will not go. Rebound to Ethan Kinnick for Marshfield and Marshfield basketball. Cooper Jesperson having a rough go of it in this game. So good all year, but has not found that rhythm. And while Mboga was hot in the first half, they've shut him down the second half. Meanwhile, Marshfield, one of their big players, Brooks Hinson, has had a big game. 5:30 to go. Marshfield more than content to bleed some time off that clock. Take advantage of the idiotic lack of a shot clock in this state. Driving through the lane here was Landon Lee. He's fouled for Marshfield. That'll be just the fifth foul on Memorial. And by the way, they should have had a shot clock and spared me that you can't get people to run it. Thankfully, though, you usually don't get a lot of four corners offense in this state, though. You don't have teams really hold the ball. Off the inbounds feed to Hinson underneath, and Hinson scores from Marshfield. An inbound pass by Lee to Hinson. Hinson was wide open all half. Marshfield players have been wide open. Hinson scores to make it a 12-point game. Here's the thing. Chad Brisky told us in the pregame, this Marshfield team so good running their offense. And maybe in that first half, Memorial was able to clog them up, but was not able to hold them back forever. Memorial ball, they got to go on a run to get back into this one now. Jesperson, oh, an offensive foul away from the ball. Jesperson dribbling up top and away from the ball. They call a foul on Bryce Hedke. No, they actually get it on Clark, number two, but still well away from the ball. Clark second, Memorial sixth. 5 minutes left in this one in Marshfield. Looking like they are well on their way to seeing their season continue. Marshfield having a hard time getting this ball inbounded with Memorial having the full court press. So Marshfield will use a timeout and will step aside as well. 5:07 to play. Marshfield in control. They lead Eau Claire Memorial 44-32 from Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5 the Tap.
Join the area's newsmakers and learn more about what is happening in our town, all while enjoying a beer with the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. Each week, Jerry Keel from Northwestern Bank brings on guests to learn more about what is happening in our region, and along the way, they try some delicious beers. It's the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com.
Final 5 minutes of regulation. Marshfield ball. They lead by 12. Scott Montesano with you. Happy to be with us on this Thursday. Memorial got a half-court trap. They had the man defended. Landon Lee. Lee, though, was able to get a pass away into the front court ahead to connect and connect the easy layup for Marshfield. Ferguson for three, right corner, answers back for Memorial. Boy, they need that. Cuts the deficit down to 11 for Marshfield with 4:30 to play in this one. Again, though, Memorial has not been able to stop Marshfield offensively in this second half. Foul here at midcourt on Clark as he was side by side with Landon Lee. That'll be the seventh foul on Memorial, and it will send Landon Lee to the line, shooting a 1-1. That is the third personal on Julius Clark. Marshfield students off to our left feeling good as Landon Lee makes the free throw. And those Memorial kids all came decked out in black today. I hope it's not for a funeral for the season. Landon Lee makes both free throws. He's got 11 points in the game, right about his season average. Marshfield leads big by 13, 4:15 left to play in this one. Jesperson baseline jumper, good. Cooper Jefferson, the baseline jumper, full court press by Memorial. Hinton in the backcourt, guarded by Jefferson. Hinton, though, gets across the midcourt stripe. Throws it to Pohl, baseline, then back outside to Hinton. Hinton guarded by Mboga. Mboga not giving him any space out in midcourt. 3:50 to go, an 11-point lead for Marshfield. Lee, left hand, dribbles in the lane, knocked away. Raced out the other way by Hecky. Hecky doesn't have numbers, he's got to wait for help and gives it over to Jesperson. Mboga, right wing, top of the key to Ferguson. Got it to Hecky. Hecky, though, had it scraped away from him out of bounds into the Memorial bench near side. It'll stay with Memorial. 3:29 to go. Memorial trying to bring the deficit down to single figures. We've come a long way from when Memorial led this game 6-0 and 9-2 in the opening minutes. Hedke right corner to Mboga, right wing, Mboga. Back outside Hedke. Feeds it to an open Clark underneath, and Clark will score. Clark is saying he got hit in the head in the process. No call, though. Full court press, nearly thrown away at midcourt, but Marshfield maintains possession. 3 minutes left to go, 9-point lead for Marshfield. Yeah, Memorial get another defensive stop and make it interesting. Feed to connect, right block. Back outside. Marshfield more than content to bleed time off the clock. 3:50 to go. Lee dribbling at midcourt. Clark guarding him. They don't want to foul him, but Clark eventually does. Tried to go for the steal. That'll be Clark's fourth foul. And Landon Lee will go to the line, another 1-1. He's not a guy you want to foul, as he is perfect from the line here today. Free throw on the way, good. Nothing but net, nothing but net. Splashed it in. He's got 12. Lead back to 10. Second free throw, falls off the side, no good, missed one, so the lead stays at 10 with 2:40 left to play in regulation. Mboga races to the lane, puts it up off the heel, no, and no foul, he took no contact. Ball knocked away in the backcourt, recollected though by Marshfield. Up the floor, here's Ketter in the front court and got fouled by Bryce Hedke. Ketter to the line, this will be the last of the 1-1s for Marshfield. Third personal on Hedke. And for Memorial, you can start to see in the eyes of these young men, the reality will start to kick in here for these seniors. Now, did they fulfill the hype? Yeah, you gave yourself a shot getting into the sectional round. They'll be disappointed though that they weren't able to go any further. You know, of course, last year was kind of stolen from them with the injury to Jesperson. As Joey Ketter makes both free throws, the lead up to 12, 2:20 left to play. It'll be disappointing for Memorial that they will not make some magical run here as Hedke scores on a drive, and then a quick timeout taken by Chad Brisky as Memorial will try to drop something here to force a turnover with 2:15 to go, down by 10. But you and I can start to, you know, if you're Memorial, there's absolutely no reason to start to relax the muscles whatsoever. You and I can start to look at the reality of the situation, but until that final buzzer sounds, why not take a few more swings if you are Memorial? What will hit so hard, unlike the girls' team, which lost seniors with that loss on Saturday, they've got something really built for this Memorial team. There's a good program behind these guys, but this whole senior team was seniors except for Ian Bauer, a junior. So this will hurt even more just to see so many guys gone. Full court press by Memorial. Lee in the backcourt, knocks over Clark, no foul call. No foul called, fans wanted it. On a charge, they don't get it. And it stays Marshfield ball. And midcourt, here's Hinson dribbling around, got it back to Lee. Lee, face guarded by Jesperson, 1:50 to go, 10-point game. Landon Lee will get bailed out here by his head coach, who calls a timeout. It's a timeout taken by Marshfield, will take one as well. 1:49 left to go. Marshfield leads this playoff game 51-41 to 93.5 in Eau Claire hometown media.
We discuss this game and all the local games on the Sports Watch podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. That's echometownradio.com. The Sports Watch podcast series is the only audio show in the area that is devoted to Chippewa Valley sports, high school, the Blue Gold, the Chippewa Steel, as well as shining a light on the numerous youth and niche sports organizations in town. The Sports Watch podcast at echometownradio.com.
Scott Montesano back with us. You wrap this one up. Off the inbound. Ball's loose on the deck. Scooped up by Memorial. So Memorial forces a turnover. Down by 10. 1:40 to go. Must score possession. Hetke in the lane. Got it to go with the right hand. And a quick timeout. Burned by Chad Risky. I think Memorial has one timeout left. I think so. They don't have timeouts on the board here. But Memorial will use a timeout, down by 8, 1:37 remaining in the ball game. Now Marshfield is in the double bonus, so any foul that Memorial commits will automatically send Marshfield to the line shooting a pair. The best free throw options Marshfield has are Brooks Hinson and Valen Ramberg, though we've seen Landon Lee can make the free throws as well. If you're the Memorial, Old Abe's are going to load everything into that full court press, try to force something, try to force either the backcourt violation, maybe run somebody into an offensive foul, or of course the turnover. Memorial will break their huddle. Marshfield can run the baseline. Full court press by Memorial, trying to force the turnover. Clark is out there, by the way, with four fouls. And unable to get the pass in is Joey Petter for Marshfield, so he'll use a timeout. And I think that leaves Marshfield with just one timeout to go. So I think both teams have one timeout remaining. Good time to point out, with 1:37 to play and Marshfield leading 51-43, that this will be our last broadcast of this high school basketball season. Even if Memorial rallies back and wins, no coverage of their game on Saturday. So this is it. Our season that began back in August with actually a Memorial football game will conclude tonight. A season of high school basketball, high school football, Regis, Altoona, Memorial, North, girls and boys action. Big thanks to all of the schools, the athletes, the coaches. So much fun this year. And of course to my son, Derek Montesano, who joined us on a number of broadcasts. He couldn't be with us tonight though. They've got the talent show going on today at South Middle School. Last couple of years he did a comedy routine. This year he's playing the violin as part of the orchestra as the talent show. All right, Marshfield will again look to throw the ball in. Now they can't run the court this time. They can't run the baseline this time because they used the timeout. They get the pass in to Hinson. Hinson guarded by Jesperson. Now gets trapped. Throws it up back to Lee. Lee still in the backcourt. Lee knocked away. Gets it again. Does he get across the midcourt strip? Yes, he does. How was that? 10 seconds went off the clock. They get a feed ahead and an empty lay and an easy layup here for Amber. What the heck was the official counting there? That was easily a backcourt violation time-wise. A terrible job dumb by the official there, who forgot how to count. You just had to look at the scoreboard clock. It went from 137 to 125. Meanwhile, Marshfield got then an uncontested layup. Memorial comes the other way. Jesperson, three, is off the mark. They'll foul Ramberg. He'll go to the line shooting two. As Clark commits the foul, he'll foul out. And Julius Clark, the senior, will walk off to the bench. His high school career comes to an end. 1:10 left to play in the ball game. 10-point lead for Marshfield. Stays a 10-point game as Ramberg misses the free throw. That bad call by the official doesn't cost Memorial the game. But remember, I can criticize these guys because I am an official myself. I hope the guy learns how to count when he goes home tonight. Most basic thing. I mean, that's a bad tie to goof up if you're the official. Both free throws missed by Ramberg, who's usually very good at those. Ferguson for three, right corner. It's an air ball. Rebound, though, picked up by Simmons. Got the Jesperson, left corner three. That pitter patters off the rim, no good, and Ramberg is fouled for Marshfield after he gets the rebound with 53 seconds left to go. We'll walk the other way. And a couple of free throws here for Valen Ramberg. Second foul on Tay Ferguson, who we know his athletic career will continue as a wide receiver at Brown University in Rhode Island. You know, and Boga will play at the next level. Jesperson's going to play probably baseball at the D1 level as a left-handed pitcher. Ramberg does hit the first free throw. Give Marshfield a lot of credit. They dominated this second half as Ramberg hits both free throws. Memorial just had no answer on defense. After a low-scoring first half, Marshfield got the offense going in the second half, and Memorial just could not stop them and never were able to figure things out offensively themselves. Jesperson has it stolen away at midcourt by Hinson. Hinson, who has had a monumental night, will go the other way and score an uncontested layup. He steals Jesperson and goes the other way. And Boga, a layup, scores for Memorial. And then one last timeout taken by Memorial. 33 seconds left to go. We're just playing this one out for statistical purposes only as Marshfield leads 57-45. So Marshfield will advance to the sectional final on Saturday against either Kaukauna or Kimberly, depending on who wins that game tonight. And Marshfield will get back to the sectional final for the second consecutive year. Meanwhile, Memorial will send off a lot of guys to graduation. A group of old Abes who had a lot of success, particularly in the regular season, and have nothing to be ashamed of. They set a number of school records. Consecutive BRC titles. They were the class of Western Wisconsin basketball. As far as what next year will bring, a lot of question marks, literally, because you'll have a whole team of the JV called up next year. Only one guy will be back next year. That is Ian Bauer. That does not guarantee the old A's will stink next year. Will they go undefeated in the BRC? Probably not, but they'll have a lot of question marks going into next year. They could still be very good. Marshfield will throw it in with 33 seconds left, up by 12. And it's thrown in here to Joey Ketterer. He'll be fouled, and Ketterer will shoot a one and will shoot two. Every foul now is two. Bryce Henke picks up his fourth foul. Marshfield students, by the way, have turned on their flashlights on their cell phones and sort of like weaving during a power ballad at a concert when you'd use the flashlight instead of the lighter. They're kind of swaying back and forth. They were seeing Nana Naha, hey, goodbye. They're having fun, and rightfully so are those students. as Ketter hits the first free throw. Makes it a 13-point game with 32 seconds left. And second free throw dances on the rim and leaps off no good. Rebound Memorial. Jesperson drives through the lane. They'll just let him score. Jesperson scores. 22 seconds to go. Marshfield in no hurry to get it in. Now they throw it in. Clock bleeds 17-18. Liam midcourt. Up the floor to Ramberg. 13-12. They're double teaming him. Got it to Lee. Officials don't want to call a foul. 8 seconds left to go. They get a feed over to Poland. Now they're just going to let the muscles relax. Final couple of seconds will tick away. And this one is over. The Marshfield Tigers dominate in the second half. And the Marshfield Tigers win this sectional semifinal game, taking down the Eau Claire Memorial Old Ames 58-47. A lot of wet faces on that Memorial sideline. A lot of hugs. A lot of sullen faces. A lot of shoulders that are slumped. A disappointing end to this season, though. You hope these young men, and you and I know this, folks. You know, we're older. We've got the life experiences and all that. In due time, the guys will remember all the good that they accomplished during their high school days and a lot of fun. But no doubt this will sting. A lot of times after a loss, what you say is, well, get a little food in your belly and get ready for the next one. Well, while there's a lot of spring sports for guys, baseball and for some track and field, this is it for basketball, and was a fun ride for a group of guys that pretty much played side by side with each other every year for the last number of years. Memorial season comes to an end as Marshfield takes them down 58-47. We'll come back, give you the final numbers, and say our final goodbye for tonight. This is Eau Claire Area High School Basketball from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Stay tuned for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game and a look at the final stats.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's time for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game. Let's get back to the gym and Scott Montesano.
And we'll go back one final time to Nielsville High School, where the Marshfield Tigers end the Eau Claire Memorial Old Ames season, winning this one by the final score of 58-47. Marshfield dominated the second half of this one as Memorial could not stop them and also could not get their own offense going. And again, for Memorial this season and this run, this, in essence, franchise, this same group of guys that had been with them. You know, a few guys obviously had graduated the last few years, but this core that had been together, going back to grade school, ends up seeing not only their season, but this core have its run come to an end with the loss this evening. Memorial got out to a quick 6-0 exit. Well, neither team scored for the game's first 3 minutes. Memorial then eventually took a 6-0 lead. They led 9-2 in this one. Now, you knew the game wasn't over, and Marshfield was going to have a kick in them, and Marshfield did. Marshfield eventually took a 5-point lead in the first half. Memorial came back, and the game was tied at 23-all in the first half and at the halftime break. However, in the second half, again, it was all Marshfield. Marshfield in the second half scored the first 4 points of the second half, eventually built up an 8-point lead, a 9-point lead, got the lead to a 10-point lead midway through the second half. Memorial never put together a run in the second half. They were never able to go on that 5-6 point spurt to get back into the game, and that's a credit to Marshfield. Every time Memorial would get a bucket and need a big stop, Marshfield came the other way, and they got the big bucket. This, you know, Marshfield won this game going away. Hats off to them. That's what it is. Hey, was there a couple questionable officiating decisions? Absolutely. Hey, I know some Memorial fans will say, hey, look at the foul disparity in this one. It seemed like everything went against us. There's some truth to that. That wasn't a big factor in this game. That botched backcourt violation the final 2 minutes, that didn't cost Memorial the game. It's infuriating because it would have kept the dream alive a little more, but that didn't cost Memorial the game. This is all about Marshfield showing that they are, at least on these two nights here in the last few weeks and tonight in particular, they're the better team. They move on to the sectional final on Saturday. Marshfield was led by Brooks Hinson. The big guy came to play. Big guy in terms of a producer for them. He had a couple of big blocks, a couple big steals, and put in 22 points in that first half, in that game here. 22 points, including a bunch of big threes in the first half. Brooks Hinson, a big star for Marshfield. They also got 12 points from Landon Lee. Meanwhile, for Memorial, Cooper Jesperson, in his final game with the Old Abes, struggled to 13 points in this one. It just did not come easy for Jesperson. Wesley Mboga had 10 points in the first half, but nothing in the second half. Just shows you how good that Marshfield defense was. Marshfield season will continue at 21-6. Memorial season ends at 21-5. Well, that'll wrap it up for our coverage, folks, of high school sports this year now. Started again with high school football in August, goes through the boys and girls basketball runs. We had a lot of fun covering so many games, a number of blowouts, a few hootenannies in there as well. Huge thanks to the folks at Civic Media, Chris and Chuck. A lot of times Chuck, who I know is listening right now, who did a good job of getting us on the air from the Palatial Civic Media headquarters. They would get us on the air for each and every one of these games. Big thanks to a lot of our supporters as well, the coaches, the players, the administrators, all helping to make this worthwhile. Big thanks to Old Abe TV that produced a couple of games for us back in January. Hey, a thanks to my son Derek, who more times than not would join me as the co-commentator as well. We had a fantastic year, folks. It didn't really end the way any of us would have hoped, with the Old Abes losing in both girls basketball on Saturday and the boys losing here tonight, but does not wipe away the memories that were created over the last several days, weeks, and months. Hey, and this is the thing when it comes to sports, folks. Usually there's going to be a frustrating ending, but we all like the ride to get there. Well, that'll wrap it up for us here tonight from Neillsville, Wisconsin. Marshfield ends the Memorial Old Abe season 58-47. On behalf of everyone who made this broadcast possible, I'm Scott Montesano saying there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until next fall when we come back to you with high school football, so long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this presentation of Eau Claire High School Football from Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap, and Civic Media. For a schedule of other upcoming games, visit echometownradio.com or thetap.fm.
CBS News Brief. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer just yesterday insisted that Democrats would block a short-term funding bill sent to them by the House, calling it too partisan. But he now says,
while the CR bill is very bad, the potential for a shutdown has consequences for America that are much, much worse.
The Trump administration is told by a federal judge in San Francisco to rehire some 30,000 probationary workers. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
We can see now that even though the Trump administration wanted to come in and make big changes, they did so in disregard from what the law would require.
Los Angeles County has dealt with fires, atmospheric rivers, mudslides, and now, according to a National Weather Service meteorologist, Ariel Cohen.
EF0 tornado did occur in Pico Rivera late last night, approximately 3:15 a.m.
It caused some tree damage and knocked out power to a neighborhood. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers advance. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers beat the Northwestern Wildcats today in the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. The final, Wisconsin 70-63. John Tonjay asked if the Badgers were a little nervous heading into this one after the loss at home to Penn State over the weekend.
I don't think there was too much nerves for me. We knew it was going to be physical. We know every game at this level, especially in conference play, is going to be tough. So we just had to come out here with the right mindset, and I think me and the guys really came with that.
Wisconsin faces UCLA tomorrow afternoon around 1:30 in New York. Marquette winning today in a close one, 89-87 over Xavier at Madison Square Garden. The Golden Eagles advance in the Big East tournament against the number one seed St. John's tomorrow night around 5:30. NBA, Bucks host the LA Lakers tonight in Milwaukee, but LeBron James will not be there. He's back in LA getting treatment for a groin injury. The Bucks trying to snap a three-game losing streak. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Glenn Powell is not by any means desperate for work. In addition to filming a remake of The Running Man and Top Gun 3 on the horizon, Powell has just signed on to a new film called The Natural Order, a sci-fi thriller about the search for eternal life. The production is in the talks with Mufasa, The Lion King director Barry Jenkins. Jenkins also directed 2016's Moonlight, for which he won an Oscar for Best Director. Kelly Ripa and husband Mark Consuelos are often referred to as the cutest married couple ever around their dinner table. The overly perky co-hosts of Live with Kelly and Mark are great at self-promotion, and this time it's because Consuelos did a segment on the show with his fly open. The supposedly accidental open zipper became obvious when he leaned back in his chair. Producers thought quickly and moved to the next segment, which is called Stump Mark, which is a perfect segment name for a guy who forgets to pull up his zipper. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low upper 40s. Breezy tomorrow with a mix of sun and clouds and a high in the mid-70s. Some showers and storms tomorrow night that will mix in with snow Saturday and windy with falling temperatures. Sunday, sunny but colder, high upper 30s. Currently 57 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, a live interview with candidate for state superintendent of public instruction, Brittany Kinzer, on why she's challenging incumbent Jill Underley.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And they got a new cool logo, too. I see. Awesome, Haley. Yeah. Haley, what's going on this weekend? I know we've had a lot of guests on in the past. I know Sunday you're going to be doing something. And I think I might stop by Saturday and maybe even Friday because it's free for elders. And I got my elder card, you know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, if you're an elder, come on down. This event is free for you all 3 days. I know if you have kids under five, I think was the age. I would double check. But those are free, too. We're talking about the Minnesota first ever Akito Festival. And this is created by Willard Mailbear Jr., who is the owner of Iktomi Tattoo in Minneapolis and then also owns that nonprofit Art Shelf, which is a creative community space for Indigenous artists to come use and
Absolutely.
Hang out.
Gosh.
Yeah, that's super cool. But this is kind of Willard's little creative idea that he put together with the help of so many people. I'm so excited. This is a 3-day event at the Intercontinental Hotel in downtown St. Paul. We're coming together in support of Indigenous talent, organizations, and communities celebrating tattooing, Native arts, and culture.
Yeah, and music, and there's going to be a lot of vendors there, too. So, and this is a huge deal, and, you know, it takes a lot of guts to do something like this because I'm trying to throw just a birthday party for myself and hope I get, you know, two people.
I know. That's why I'm saying like so many community members are a part of this and we're so thankful. We have so many creative and talented people, especially our tattoo artists that are going to be live tattooing all weekend. There's going to be a couple of tattoo contests at the end of each day. So a little friendly competition as well. Are you getting tattooed, Robert?
I wonder how long it would take because I don't know if I brought this up to you or brought it up to somebody. Oh, I brought it up to somebody else going, oh, I need a applique for my wrist. And somebody told me, you've been talking about that for 3 years. And I went,
I think you were talking to me about that for 3 years.
Maybe that was you. And I went, oh, I have. Maybe I should do it or get a silver bracelet instead. Oh,
yeah. You could have Ho-Chunk relative and artist Josiah Thunder, who used to go by Woodland Thunder. I think he has a different name for his shop now, but great metal working artist as well. Josiah, shout out. But yeah, Minnesota Akito Festival, Friday, March 14th, the 15th and 16th. Do you, getting tattooed, Robert? Do you have tattoos?
I do have a huge tattoo on my back, but you know, I'm 63 now. So I have like not Dad Bob, like Grandpa Bod, so I don't ever take my shirt off anymore, so no one sees it.
No, we'll have to get you in that dugout canoe on the river, and then maybe people can see, get someone paddle behind you so they can see your tattoo.
You know what Robert said about that? It's so true. You've seen that, how they're for stealth people. I mean, these are little tiny things. I would need help, one, getting out of the canoe, because it's so low, and then the sides. I mean, you're driving down the river with that, and we got boats flying by and making wakes.
Yeah, you are really low to the water level in that dugout canoe.
Yeah, so I don't know.
We have to, like, double life jacket you up or something. And, like, a diaper for a diaper elder life jacket, and then one around your
chest. We love doing the – when we used to have our big boat on St. Croix, we diaper dived all the time. But that's another show. That was probably – Wendy and my old show called Pilot's Progressive Party, that we talk about that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. Well, I ask because us as natives, and I know Pacific Islander people too, you know, a lot of different indigenous communities kind of mark themselves with tattoos. It's part of our culture. It's part of storytelling. It's also a part of marking different specific times in your life or different things to memorize things by. I have I think it's over 20. I definitely have lost count just of little tattoos that I've collected through my lifetime. But I'll be getting my bigger, fancier tattoo this weekend. So it'll
be a lion, right? You're going to get?
Not a lion. It's a wolf. kind of close, but yeah, I just, and
it's a lot of detail. It's a lot of detail, whatever it is. It's the wolf with a lot of detail.
Ouch. Yeah, but you kind of save those bigger pieces for festivals like this where you get the super fancy big timer tattoo artist. So I'm excited. I want to give a shout out to Shannon Joyce. That's who is tattooing me. And she's also tattooing currently at Iktomi Tattoo in Minneapolis. So if you weren't able to get in a tattoo appointment this weekend at the festival, you can look up Iktomi in Minneapolis too and book an appointment.
Well, you know, and it's such a small community. I went to school with her dad at Ramsey Junior High before it was called the Hidden River, which is a much better name, in the 70s. So I've known Brian, who works at the Indian Center, since, well, he's a year older than me, so I've known him since like seventh grade. So
yeah, and that's kind of like how we say everyone's related, because right. I was talking to you about who was doing my tattoo, and you recognized the last name, and you were like, oh, we just had a little tour of the Indian Center by Brian, and that right. was, her dad. So everyone's related. I know Friday's day starts out at the festival. Is the opening starts at 10 a.m., and then they're going to do an opening ceremony, mm-hmm. A couple performances, like drumming. That'll also be going on at 3:30. But, yeah, they got stuff going on all throughout the day on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, mm-hmm. A couple different poetry classes. There's a creative class with Guy Waden, mm-hmm. And Guy Waden is a very big social media influencer. I believe he's Ojibwe, and Guy Waden has a large following on TikTok. So It'll be cool that they will be in the Twin Cities.
Oh, I know. He's been on the show. I know who that is. Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be in town. So on Friday.
He was at the Snow Snake, and again, that's really hard to say. Snow Sank, Chashke, you know, all these things are hard for me to say. I only speak Ho-Chunk, but very, very poor at Ho-Chunk in English, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, so there's a lot of people that are going to be showing up for this. I know Friday's musical performances include DJ A.O., Joey Rainey, Jada Brown, downtown Jada Brown will be performing at 9 p.m. on Friday. Then you also got Stella Standing Bear at 9:30. And that's just Friday's lineup.
Wow. I know. Well, Jada's been a friend and on the show many times over the years, and a former Gopher who went to the University of Minnesota too. So I got to give her a big shout out. Great voice, you know. And I know when you were doing that, it was a music show tattoo kind of thing with with those guys like Annie Humphrey and Jada sang too.
Fire in the Village with Annie Humphrey and David Hochfeldt. Yeah, Jada performed with them too, and I think they had Thomas X from Red Lake did a little surprise poetry performance too.
Well,
it was really good.
And you know, again, how small the community is. So Thomas X, his wife is Nancy Bolio's daughter.
So, oh, no way. Yeah. See, I didn't even know that.
It's crazy. I just got a text from Nancy too. We got to get her on and play catch up here. We haven't talked to her.
I hope she's doing good.
She's doing a lot of good things. Her nonprofit's taken off, and a lot of things are happening up there in the Bemidji area. And she's been a hard worker for many years with the pipelines and Standing Rock and Line 3 and all those things. And so it'd be good to catch up with her. Haley, you know, I was joking that we have some land, some family land that we're getting, and you're going to be doing some fun things here in a couple weeks. And I might come along too with you sent it to me during break, what you're going to be doing. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah, so this will be kind of my first experience learning about sugar bushing, but I know Wild River State Park is doing a maple syrup day on Saturday, April 5th, and Wild River State Park is just about an hour, maybe a little bit north of the Twin Cities area, so it'd be cool to do a little day trip out there, get yourself in nature. I don't know who the native artist is or the Native person that will be out there putting this on. I'll have to ask, but we'll be identifying sugar maple trees. We're going to be tapping trees, tasting some sap, and then we're going to visit the evaporator. So kind of learning about the whole process of sugar bushing. You're going to create a maple leaf craft and get to enjoy some of that syrup at the end of it.
I think we're going to send you next do some ricing. Oh, wow.
Yeah, hey, I would love to.
Get those sticks out there and get that canoe going.
I know.
Get some family rice for us. Hoa.
Let's do it. Hey, I know we got Bob Blake on now. Should we hear what Bob has to say, the solar bear with the solar news?
Yeah, let's get him on because we don't want him to escape. Hey, Mr. Vikings fan here. I see you're all excited about all these new signings. Hoa.
Hey, Robert. There is... So the new solar data fact sheet just came out.
Oh.
And I wanted to tell everybody that there are 10,000 plus solar businesses in the USA, 279,447 people are employed. 279,447 Americans employed. And I just want everybody out there to understand that the solar industry is employing, you know, American people. And this administration is putting all that in jeopardy right now with their actions, Robert. Yeah. 235 gigawatts have been installed. 5,425 solar energy systems have been installed in the United States. Like I said, totaling about 236 gigawatts. 70.4 billion dollars was invested in 2024 alone. 41 states with a solar or battery manufacturing facility. So meaning that that is only expanding the jobs and the manufacturing base here in the United States. I mean, These statistics, Robert, are staggering. Today, nearly
Bob, let's talk some more and get in depth in the next segment here. You came on a little early, and we're going to really rock it with the solar bear with the solar news coming up next. And you're going to give us help us out with a big howl. I'm practicing. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Bob Blake, the solar bear with the solar news. And Haley, keeping it all together, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Have you considered a career in the museum field? The Minnesota Historical Society is now accepting applications for its Native American Museum Fellowship. The 10-week summer program is a mix of workshops, seminars, and hands-on internships at the Minnesota Historical Society. It is open to undergraduate students, recent graduates, and community scholars with an interest in museums and heritage studies. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333. 3333.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Oh. Hey, we are here with our friend Bob Blake from Red Lake. Bob Blake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. I'd love to have you continue on what you're talking about. This is really important information that all our listeners should know.
Yeah, Robert. So right now, currently, clean energy is under attack. In Washington, right? Because we have somebody at the head of the at the head who is a former oil executive. Okay. And this is the person, you know, each administration is able to tap who they want to leave their energy department or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Their cabinet, right? And this president has picked an individual that used to be a former oil executive and has got all these ties into the fossil fuel industry. So anything that is renewable energy, anything that is electric vehicles, you know, they are trying to get rid of. But what they weren't prepared for, well, first of all the contracts that this country signed, right, with all these different states and all these different companies, the federal government just can't walk away from that, right? The second thing is the momentum that the previous administration put in place in all of these communities across the country that are investing heavily into renewables, electric vehicles, workforce development programs, manufacturing. You know, I could just go on, right? And so that's what's happening. And this is a direct result. And this is the latest stat sheet that just came out from the Solar Energy Industry Association. And 500 gigawatts of new solar capacity will be installed by 2035. So, Robert, and so what I'm saying is this isn't going anywhere no matter what this administration tries to do. This will be a bump. This will be a bump in the road, right? But it's not going to stop what's happening. There is enough solar energy installed in the U.S. to power 40.7 million homes, 44.7 million households. In 2024, a new solar project was installed every 54 seconds. 14% of new homes will have solar PV system by 2030. 28% of annual growth of the solar market over the past 10 years. And there are 44 gigawatts of utility scale batteries. Nearly 500,000 have been installed in energy systems. And 28% of energy systems installed in 24 have batteries. So this is really huge, and I'm super excited about all this because that means that this is only going to reduce the country's reliance on fossil fuels and limit the amount of greenhouse gases that we emit into the green air, into the air. Also, everyone, if you would like to get a job in the clean energy field, there is going to be a job fair out in Rogers, Minnesota, at the Haline Solar Factory. There's a solar manufacturing facility. It's 12716 Main Street, Rogers, Minnesota. This is where they're going to be making solar panels, Robert. The state of Minnesota invested a lot of money into helping this facility up here in the Twin Cities metro area to up. So if they have like over 100 jobs, management to like production, they're going to need security folks. I mean, you name it. They're having a job for March 19th at 10 a.m. 12716 Main Street, Rogers, Minnesota, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And so if you want to get out and you want a really good job with benefits, a good hourly salary, and want to make a difference and fight climate change, This is like the perfect opportunity. So this, and like I just explained to you, all of those statistics are only growing, are only getting bigger. There are more and more projects are being developed, and they're going to be needing all these great solar panels that are going to be Minnesota made by Minnesotans and manufactured right here in the Twin Cities metro area.
Bob, when you first came on the show, we were talking about the only place we could get these were from China. This is amazing. This is amazing.
This is amazing. And, you know, I think what's really great about this, and let's be honest, because our governor, right, Governor Waltz has really been a leader, you know, in this space in advocating for, and our lieutenant governor, let's be honest. I mean, like our leadership right here in the state of Minnesota has been very, very vocal about, you know, where we produce our energy at is the most efficient way that we can use it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they understand this and they have invested heavily into this industry. And what this does, Robert, and this is really great because what it does is it expands, right? Because off of this, other jobs, other opportunities will mm-hmm. come, other industries, battery manufacturing is coming to the state of Minnesota. I'm hearing like other solar, other renewable energy industries are looking into Minnesota and putting their mm-hmm. businesses here. And this only brings a lot of smart people here. It brings more businesses here and really helps our economy here, you know?
Right.
And so
the tax base, it's just a phenomenal. And then people living here and spending money and, you know, on and on and on how the economy works. That's just fabulous information that you're talking about, especially with what's going down in Rogers.
Well, yeah. And we are susceptible to, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but 25% energy tariffs, right? From places like Canada and other spots that, you know, when we're trying to ship energy from North Dakota, right, that uses coal, right, into our state where we have a big tourism industry that, you know, we have all these lakes and this is really huge for people to want to come and clean lakes. But when you get all of that mercury and everything flowing over the airways and it goes down into our waterways, we are a headwater state. We have a responsibility to take care of the Mississippi that goes down and provides water for the rest of the country. So there is a lot of things I think in Minnesota that we realize, but I think as we get more down into delve into what we can do, clean energy is the best way that I think we can support the rest of the country, the rest of the businesses. And of course we have, you know, national leadership out there that are being very vocal about this and about energy independence. So I think it's a win-win all the way around, Robert. And I think we need to continue to move down this road. And I'm hoping that our politicians, our leaders see it that way. And that's happening coming out of the federal level.
I wanted to bring up with Bob and Robert Lilligren, and now I have Robert Blake, and I'm Robert Pilot, and Haley's new name's Robert Haley.
Yeah, I guess.
And we have to support those two candidates down in Florida nationally, and we could switch the House if we can get those two voted in, and hopefully the tide's changing because of what's happening with our economy right now, and that these ideas that are coming out of Washington from MAGA are not good. So I just wanted to throw that out there too.
I'm donating. Solar Bear is going to donate to those candidates. I am sending out my donation to the Democratic Party and then we've got Nick Martin who was here, you know what I mean? Who's out there locally now, nationally now, mm-hmm. For the Democratic Party. So support the Democratic Party and let's get these guys into the House.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he will vote yes to advance the GOP funding bill to keep the government open, but says other Democrats may not follow.
I believe it is my job to make the best choice for the country to minimize the harms to the American people. Therefore, I will vote to keep the government open and not shut it down.
President Trump plans to use the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 as part of his push against illegal immigration. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
We are told by U.S. officials that the targeted group is expected to be suspected members of the Tren de Aragua prison gang, which is comprised mostly of Venezuelan nationals.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says that Russia agrees in principle with the U.S. ceasefire proposal with Ukraine, but the terms need to be worked out. He also says through an interpreter.
We are in favor of it. But there are nuances.
President Trump says he hopes Russia accepts the plan. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.